Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskrityam. Naram jaiva narotamam. Devim Saraswatim Vyasam. O Jayamudhiraye Nashta Prayeshu Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Rutama Shloke Bhavatir Naishtiki. Today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 63, entitled Lord Krishna Fights with Banasura, text number 39. Yataiva Surya Pihitaschayaya Svaya. Yataiva Surya Pihitaschayaya Svaya. Chayam Charupani Chasan Chakasti. Chayam Charupani Chasan Chakasti. Evam gunena pihito gunam stvam. Evam gunena pihito gunam stvam. Atma pratipo gunena shabhoman. Atma pradipo gunina shabhuman. Taiva surya pihitaschaya yasvaya. Chayam charupani chasancha kashti. Evam gunena pihito gunam svam. Atma pradipo guninascha bhuman. Yataiva surya pihitam pihitascha yaya svaya. Chayam charupani chasan chakasti. Evam gunena pihito gunam stvam. Atma pratipo guninascha bhuman. Yataiva surya pihitaschaya yasvaya.
Chayam charupani cha sancha kasti.
Evam gunena pihito gunam stvam.
Atma pradipo guninascha bhuman.
Try. You can try.
Yataiva surya pihitaschaya svaya. Yataiva surya
pihitaschaya
svaya. Chayam charupani cha sanchakasti.
Evam
gunena pihito gunam svam.
Atma pradipo guninascha puman.
You can try if you want. Would you like to try? No. Anyone? What it is?
Yadaiva surya pitaschayasvaya. Chayam cha rupani sanchakasti. Evam gunena pihito gunam svam. Atma pradipo gunina shabhuman.
Yathaiva surya pihitaschaya svaya.
Chayam charupani cha sanchakasti.
Evam gunena pihito gunam svam.
Atma pradipo gunina shabhuman.
Yata eva, just as surya, the sun, pihita, coward, chayaya, by the shade,
swaya,
its own,
chayam,
the shade,
cha,
and
Rupani,
visible forms,
cha,
also,
sanchakasti,
illuminates,
evam,
similarly,
gunena,
by the material quality of false ego,
apihita,
covered,
gunan,
the qualities of matter,
tvam,
you,
atma pradipa,
self-luminous,
gunina,
the possessors of these qualities,
the living
entities,
cha,
and
bhuman,
O Almighty Lord.
Actually,
O Almighty One.
Referring to the Lord.
Translation and purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Servants of Srila Prabhupada.
O Almighty One,
just as the sun, though hidden by a cloud, illuminates the cloud and all other visible forms as well, so you, although hidden by the material qualities, remain self-luminous and thus reveal all those qualities along with the living entities who possess them.
Purport.
Here Lord Shiva further clarifies the idea expressed in the final two lines of the previous verse. The analogy of the clouds and the sun is appropriate. With its energy, the sun creates clouds, which cover our vision of the sun. Yes, yet it is the sun that allows us to see the clouds and all other things as well. Similarly, the Lord expands His illusory potency and thus prevents us from directly seeing Him. Yet it is God alone who reveals to us His covering potency, namely the material world. And thus, the Lord is Atma Pradipa, self-luminous. It is the quality It is the reality of his existence that makes all things visible.
Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutaha Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Nitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padham Sahagana Nalita Shri Vishakanvitam Saha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devan Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sumyavadi Pastachare Satarine He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Mancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yataiva Surya Pihitaschayaya Swaya, Chayam Charupani Chasanchakasti, Evam Gunina Pihito Gunam Stvam. Atma Pratipo Kunina Shabhuman. O Almighty One, just as the sun, though hidden by a cloud, illuminates the cloud and all other visible forms as well, so you, although hidden by the material qualities, remain self-luminous and thus reveal all those qualities along with the living entities who possess them. This is the continuation of beautiful prayers offered by Lord Shiva to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Shri Krishna. Generally, Lord Shiva is referred and is known as by many, many names like Nilakanta, one who has a neck which has blue lines because he drank the poison and saved many living entities' lives. He showed his compassion and he's so powerful that he drank the poison and he didn't make the poison go beyond his neck, and so that's why his neck is known as Nila, or in other words, his neck is beautifully anointed with bluish hue. And he is known as Ashutosh, one who is easily satisfied and one who is very easily angered. So he is known by different names. And another name he has is he's known as Mahadev. Mahadev means the greatest of all demigods. Deva means demigods and Mahadev means the greatest of all demigods. Here we see the greatest of all demigods is actually offering his heartfelt prayers to Shri Krishna. the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supreme Lord of all living entities. Lord Shiva, he is a great devotee of Lord Krishna, as explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, that out of all the rivers, Ganges is considered the most pure. Similarly, among all the devotees in this material world, Lord Shiva is considered the greatest devotee. Vaishnavanam yata shambhu, or Lord Shiva is the greatest of all Vaishnavas. So here his prayers are most exalted and most appreciated for devotees to hear and study. You know, many, many demigods offer many prayers to Krishna to show Krishna's supremacy. Like yesterday there was this initiation ceremony given by His Holiness Devamrita Maharaj to Brahmakund and Govindakund. Brahmakund is a place where Lord Brahma, he offers his heartfelt prayers to Lord Krishna, glorifying Krishna. And in those verses we can see how these demigods are very, very highly realized and they are very great devotees and must be respected as devotees. Similarly, Lord Indra, after the Govardhan pastime, he was a little bit proud, he was quite proud, and he was disturbed that Krishna stopped his Indra puja. Krishna stopped his father and the residents of Vrindavan from offering valuable gifts to Lord Indra, because usually you offer gifts to Indra so that you can get rain in return. But Krishna said, no, if you satisfy Govardhan, then everyone is satisfied. And Krishna actually gave the residents of Vrindavan, headed by Nanda Maharaj, a method by which they can perfectly worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his form of Giriraj Govardhan. By offering, by satisfying Govardhan, then everyone is satisfied. Krishna wanted to point out. Obviously, Indra got annoyed. Lord Indra was quite disappointed and he was upset. Lord Indra was thinking, every year I get my annual tax, but this time I didn't get my annual tax. What is going on? And he observed what was going on. He said, oh, this little five-year-old child instructing this impudent child, how dare he instruct the residents of Vrindavan to stop offering their annual tax to me? So he was infuriated. The purpose of doing the Indra Puja was to get rain. And Krishna wanted to point out, even by worshipping Govardhan, you will get rain. So Indra poured a lot of rain in return. But nevertheless, Indra poured rain to destroy the residents of Vrindavan, which was wrong in his side. But Krishna proved his supremacy. Though he was 7 years old, he didn't have to go to Himalayas to accumulate powers or mystic potency to do wonderful feats. He displayed his supremacy even from birth. When Krishna appeared in this world, he displayed his supremacy. He appeared in his forearm form in front of Vasudeva and Devaki to show that he is the Supreme Personality of God and that you should not see me as an ordinary child. But obviously, Vasudeva and Devaki, they had that fatherly and motherly affection to Krishna. Though they saw him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but their relationship is a mixed relationship. It is that they see Krishna in awe and reverence. At the same time, they see Krishna as their mother, as their darling child. So they say to Lord Vishnu at that time, "Oh Vishnu, please remove those two extra arms, because if you have those two extra arms, then this cruel brother-in-law of ours, Kamsa, he will easily find you and he will kill you. Please remove that. That is our fear." So Krishna understanding and reciprocating with his devotee, he removed that two extra arm. And he exhibited his original supreme form, supremely blissful form as Lord Shri Krishna. So later on we know how Krishna, he was just 3 months old, but he was able to kill a big demoness, Putana. So we can see that Krishna didn't have to accumulate power by strenuous endeavor, going to the cold regions of Himalayas to do meditation and so forth. He had that supreme power since birth. In fact, Krishna wanted to point out that his power from birth is not from his previous pious credit, because he showed to Vasudev that he is the original supreme personality of Godhead Vishnu, who is the source of all potency, of all power. Krishna, similarly, he proved to Indra that whatever his powers are is actually worthless when it comes to the powers of Krishna. And Lord Indra, he saw, this little child, 7-year-old child, he defeated me. How did he defeat me? He humiliated me. One thing for a Kshatriya is, if you kill, it's okay, but if you insult them through words or through other means, that is the greatest defeat. That defeats their pride within their heart and what they think of themselves. That is all totally smashed. Usually people like to think great about themselves, but suppose a person in public arena, he shows how you are actually a fool. That is the greatest humiliation. But if you die in the battlefield, you still consider yourself as glorious, because you'll be glorious through fame. But if someone ridicules you and shows you are a big fool in front of public, that is the greatest humiliation. So Indra, he was totally humiliated, because he was shown by Krishna how a big fool he was, trying to destroy the residents of Vrindavan. Later on, Krishna, he was in Govindakund, and that's where Lord Indra, Indra was smart. Actually, Indra, before he understood, all previously Brahma also got in trouble. So he went to Lord Brahma, his spiritual master, and asked him guidance by which he can seek forgiveness from Krishna. Brahma said, "You don't do what I did. What I did is a great mistake. I went to Krishna and I offered the most exalted prayers. But what happened? Krishna didn't even notice me. Krishna was looking around, seeing his cows and cowherd boyfriends. He didn't even notice. In fact, Krishna was thinking, who is this four-headed man in front of me? I can't understand his language." Brahma said, "Don't make that mistake. My guidance is you get the beautiful cow, Surabhi, and go along with Surabhi. Because Krishna is very dear to the cows. He's known as..." which we'll know later. So Lord Indra took Surabhi in front of Krishna and he offered beautiful prayers. And Krishna, he reciprocated with Indra, unlike with Lord Brahma. How did he reciprocate with Indra? He chastised him. This is the greatest mercy of Krishna. We know in the pastime of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, how one day it was Advaita Acharya, he was in Jagannath Puri. While he was in Jagannath Puri, if I may not know the names of a devotee, so one of the servants of Advaita Acharya, he tried to make some arrangement so that this the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Advaita Acharya, gets facility to leave and eat prasadam and so forth. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu learned that this servant went to seek some alms from a respectable person for giving protection to Advaita Acharya, he got really upset. He started chastising that servant. And Advaita Acharya was thinking, oh, this person is greatly fortunate. Because that person lamented, oh my gosh, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chastised me. But Advaita Acharya, he was very happy. He was thinking, wow, how fortunate you are. You got the chastisement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Whereas me, I don't get such mercy. I don't get the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the form of chastisement. So Lord Indra, we can see, he got that reciprocation from Krishna in the form of chastisement. Unlike Brahma, Lord Brahma, he offered beautiful prayers and he saw that there was no response from Krishna. So he said, okay, I better get going right now, because he was fearful. Whereas Indra, he got that chastisement from Krishna. And later on, Surabhi, who was accompanying Krishna, she also offered beautiful prayers to Krishna. And Surabhi said, actually, Indra, he's supposed to give us protection. But Indra hasn't given us protection. Indra wanted to kill all of us. But, oh Krishna, you actually gave us protection. That's why your name should be Govinda. And he coronated Krishna as Govinda, coronated Krishna as Govinda by profuse amount of milk poured on him, on his head. And everyone, that's where Krishna is known as Govinda. And that is the place where Krishna, he chastised Indra and he was coronated as Govinda, and that place is known as Govinda Kund. So here we see, these demigods are not ordinary souls. They are actually great souls. They are good, great devotees of the Lord. Lord Shiva, although he is known as Mahadev, he is referring Krishna as the greatest of all Mahadevs. He is the greatest of all the demigods. Lord Shiva shows, and he explains here, that actually no one can understand you in this world, really. In this material world, it is true, no one can understand Krishna. Krishna, he creates this Maya, and this Maya helps us block away from Krishna. The example given here, the sun creates the cloud. So this cloud, which is created by the sun, blocks our vision from the sun. But it is the sun, because of the sun, that we can see the cloud. Without the power of the sun, we cannot see the cloud. Similarly, it is Krishna who covers our vision from him through Maya. But we can see Maya through Krishna. Just like the clouds can be seen by the mercy of the sun. If the sun is not there, how can you see anything? What to speak of clouds? You can't see anything. But if the sun is there, you can see the clouds and you can see so many things. So sometimes we go out, some days it's very sunny like today. But sometimes you can't see the sun at all. But we can see the cloud because the sun is there in the form of daylight. Similarly, though we cannot see Krishna, but we can understand Krishna is there in this universe. Somehow or other, he is there. And that is the conviction of all devotees, that they must see Krishna somehow or other, somewhere or other. It is Krishna that we can see how the material energy is working. Though we may not see Krishna directly, but it is through Krishna we can see the material energy. And we can see Krishna through His qualities manifest by many, many living entities. This Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna teaches Arjuna how you can be Krishna conscious. Krishna shows Arjuna, actually you can be Krishna conscious in whatever state of, in whatever atmosphere you may be in. In any environment you can actually be Krishna conscious. Krishna teaches. Krishna says, if you want to understand me through taste, yes, you can understand me. You drink the pure water, then you can understand me as the taste. If you want to see me among effulgent beings, then you see me as the sun. And if you want to see, and Krishna goes on, he says, among all the Pandavas, you should understand I am Arjuna. And among all the mountains, great mountains, I am Himalaya mountain. Among all the fishes, I am the shark. And among the greatest of wielder of bow and arrow, I am Lord Ram. So Krishna teaches Arjuna how you can see every object of the material world. And that object of the material world, which is the most prominent, should remind us of Krishna. Krishna explains even this to Uddhava in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, how you can see Him through many, many different material objects. We should understand. He is known as Param Satyam, as some of this Devamrita Maharaj was explaining in the evening class yesterday. Krishna is known as Param Satyam, the Supreme Absolute Truth. Why is the Supreme Absolute Truth? Because from Him everything comes. Janmadayasayata. Everything is born from Krishna. Anything you see, any good quality, anything you see comes from Krishna. Similarly, so when we see a good quality in any living entity, we should actually understand it, that those qualities come from Krishna. As explained here, Krishna is known as Atma Pradipa or self-luminous. So this is how he manifests himself, you can say. By understanding the transcendental qualities of Krishna, then we can actually achieve the greatest perfection of spiritual life. Without understanding the transcendental qualities of Krishna, we cannot achieve any success in life. That's why Krishna's qualities and activities are considered transcendental. They are not mundane. They are spiritual. Janma karma chame divyam evam yoviti tatvata tyaktva deham punar janma naitivam eti sojana. That Krishna's janma and karma is not the janma and the karma that of us, the living entity. Our janma or our appearance or our birth in this world is forced. It is forced. We are forced to enter into the womb of a woman through the semen of a father. We are forced. And then we have to undergo so much tribulation in the womb. And then that's how we take birth. We take birth not in a beautiful substance in our body. Where's Krishna? When he appeared in front of Vasudev, he appeared in beautiful form with earrings, clothes and so forth. He had the flute and so forth. That's how Krishna appeared. And his activities are not mundane activities like ours. We may go through old age, diseases and so forth, but Krishna doesn't undergo all this. Srila Prabhupada said that Krishna, whenever you see Krishna, you should see Krishna as the 16-year-old boy, Navayovana. This is how Krishna is. In battle of Kurukshetra, he was 125 years old, 120 years old. But you see him, He is like a 16-year-old boy. Krishna, when he was in battlefield, he had this beautiful peacock feather. And he looked so beautiful. Though Bhishma Dev, he was showing so much arrow. And the arrows were covering Krishna with profuse amount of blood. Though look, nevertheless, Krishna looked so beautiful. He looked very, very beautiful. And on top of that, the chariot wheels would bring about all the dust in the air, and that dust would cover Krishna up, and he looked more beautiful. And as explained, those who saw the beautiful form of Krishna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, they went back home, back to Godhead. Even when Krishna was in battlefield, you know, he had forest garland, he had a beautiful turban. He looked like Vrindavan Krishna pretty much. This is explained by Prabhupada also, and if you read in Pancharatrika Pradeep book, it will explain there. It's quite interesting. So Krishna's activities are superhuman. They are transcendental. But Krishna understands, and he says, he also explains in the same chapter, Ye yata mam prapadyante tam stataiva bhajamyaham, that according to your surrender, I reciprocate accordingly. I reciprocate to you. So, when Krishna, when he disappeared from this world, he created a situation where he could also fulfill the desires of the atheist. And at the same time, he created a situation where devotees were able to appreciate Krishna's disappearance from this world. This is Krishna's amazing nature. Krishna can do one activity that can fulfill multifarious purposes. That is Krishna. It's explained that when Krishna, he instructed the Yadavas and the Yadus to go to Prabhakshetra to do their final rituals. And due to Krishna's arrangement, they all fought with each other after drinking a liquor, some sort of drink, and they were boasting their powers and so forth, and someone was saying, no, I am more stronger than you. And that's how they created, Krishna created fight amongst themselves, and they all died. They went back home, back to Godhead. And Lord Krishna, he was actually under the peepal tree. His left leg was was taking rest on the right thigh. From a distance, a hunter named Jara saw Krishna. The hunter Jara mistook Krishna's foot to be the face of a deer, and he shot that arrow. So it just landed right near Krishna's lotus feet, just a little bit. So Krishna created a situation to, you can say, fuel up the desires of the atheists to put Krishna down. At the same time, Krishna created a situation to show the devotees that how he can, one should leave this world in full perfection, without any attachment to this material world. He showed. So in there, we see, you know, the atheists say, look, Krishna died. This is how the atheists say, oh look, Krishna died. Because apparently Krishna left an illusory form over, and he went to spiritual world in his original form. So the atheists take that story to prove that Krishna actually died. Krishna, he did this to fulfill, or to, so that the atheists can, you know, explain their theory that Krishna is not spiritual. Krishna did it. This is what the atheists want to serve Krishna as. So Krishna said, okay, you want to serve me as that? Okay, you can serve me in that way. But the result is that you will degrade into hellish condition. That is the result. But devotees, like for example, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Sridhar Swami, they are such exalted devotees. They show us that when Krishna in this situation, he disappeared from this world, is actually, we should understand that it is most amazing. It's the most amazing. Krishna, and then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Sridhar Swami actually opens our vision to understand Krishna more. They explain, actually, how could a hunter be mistaken to see, think that Krishna's lotus, beautiful lotus feet to be the face of a deer? No, it couldn't. Just prior to that, 56 million people died, just an hour or so. Do you think deers would be around there? No, they would be gone away, they would flee away. So, the great acharyas opens up even more to explain how Krishna, like any mystic yogis, he was showing that one should detach themselves from the material world and go to their original spiritual position. And Krishna showed that. Meanwhile, all the demigods, headed by Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma and all the great devotees, came to assemble to witness the disappearance of Krishna from this world. While they were there, they were just amazed to see Krishna, and they were seeing. And the acharyas explained, the reason they were waiting in the sky, showering flowers, they were thinking, each and every demigods were seeing Krishna, and they were thinking, oh, Krishna is seeing me. And they were thinking, oh, when Krishna, and they were hoping, when Krishna leaves this world, they will come to my abode. They were hoping, all of them were hoping. At that moment, Krishna actually went to the spiritual world. Not many could see how Krishna disappeared, but those who saw Krishna disappear from this world were very amazed. The disappearance of Krishna is given that of the lightning, flash of a lightning, just like this, it disappeared. And few demigods only got the grasp to see the beautiful disappearance of Krishna, such as Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, very few. And they were just amazed to see how Krishna left this world. So, for those demigods, they were able to appreciate Krishna because they were devotees of Krishna, and Krishna fulfilled their desire, reciprocated with them accordingly. He reciprocated. You are my devotee, I will reciprocate to you and show you my glory. But you are my non-devotee, and I will also reciprocate and show you how my glory or my nature is actually mundane for the atheist. But the result is different. For the atheist or the demons, they go to hellish region, darkest region of hellish condition of life. And for the devotees, they go back home, back to Godhead. So Krishna reciprocates with his devotees accordingly. So for the devotees, he covers them through Maya. And with the non-devotees, he also covers them with Maya. But one is Yoga Maya, one is Maha Maya. One is the illusory energy of the material world, and another is the illusory energy of the spiritual world. Where they are just amazed, and they are just bewildered, and they know nothing but Krishna. That is the illusory nature of the spiritual world. But the illusory nature of the material world is they know nothing. They know everything other than Krishna. They know everything except for Krishna. This is the illusory nature of the material world. So Krishna reciprocates according to your surrender, according to devotees' surrender. Just recently, I told Bhaktisiddhanta Swami, you know, His Holiness Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, oh, you know, how my day starts, you know, and I told him, actually I was busy or something, and I had to go wake the Lord up at 4 o'clock or so. And Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj told me, actually, You don't make the Lord up. The Lord makes you up. Then I went a further step because he's kind upon me. He tolerates me. I said, well, the Lord makes me up, then I make him up. So this is reciprocation. We reciprocate with the Lord. Here, Lord Shiva, he offers beautiful prayers. And Lord Krishna, he accepts those prayers from Lord Shiva. You will see how Lord Krishna actually accepted those beautiful prayers of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is a great devotee. And he's offering beautiful prayers to show the transcendental nature of Krishna. Without the mercy of such devotees, great devotees, we cannot actually understand Krishna. No. We will not understand Krishna. Even if Krishna appears in this world and he manifests beautiful pastime, it is still difficult to understand Krishna. It is only the devotees who open our spiritual vision to see Krishna's pastimes and activities. Otherwise, we will never understand Krishna. Without the mercy of great acharyas, great devotees, we will never understand Krishna. Know that how Kamsa, he got to know that Krishna killed one demon after another demon. Kamsa knew that. And he knew the powers of the demons he was sending. The demons who Kamsa sent were powerful in many, many, they had different talents. Like he sent the whirlwind demon to try kill Krishna through the wind, through the form of the wind. And he's similarly, Kamsa sent demons like Agasura, because Agasura, a python, is able to swallow Krishna. No, he couldn't. Though Kamsa sent so many demons, and he himself asked Krishna to come to Mathura, and Krishna killed the great demon Kovalayapida, the great elephant. And in the arena, Kamsa saw how Krishna and Balaram easily killed Chandra and Mushtika. Very easy way. But still he was not able to understand, even when Krishna displayed his extraordinary pastime. He wasn't able to understand. That's why it's important that we actually appreciate and learn what the great devotees are teaching us in the text of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srimad Bhagavatam is full of glorification of Krishna from exalted devotees like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, and many, many great demigods and devotees. And through their mercy, we can actually see Krishna better and better. So this is how we understand that these demigods are not mundane. Though they are ordinary, they are living entities like us, but they are extraordinary living entities. So Lord Shiva, though he is Mahadev, he actually reckons and he knows that Krishna is the greatest of all the demigods. And finally, Lord Shiva actually explains in Padma Purana, Aradhananam Sarvesham Vishnur Aradhanam Param Tasmat Paratram Devim Tariyanam Samacharam. That worshipping the demigods, better than worshipping the demigods is worship of Lord Vishnu or Krishna. But higher than worshipping Lord Krishna is actually worshipping the paraphernalia of Krishna or his devotees. By serving the devotees, we can get Krishna's mercy. Thank you very much. Are there any comments or questions? Yes, Mataji.
Question. A pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada, he's considered to be above the demigods, right?
Yes.
What would you say?
Pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada, he is a general, he is a personal general of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu coming from the spiritual world. He's Shakti Veshavatar.
He is a
Nitya Siddha, he is eternally liberated soul. Whereas the demigods can sometimes be Nitya Bada. They are Nitya Badas. Sometimes they are liberated, sometimes they can fall down. possible. But Lord Shiva, he is a special category.
Because sometimes also, isn't it that Vishnu takes the positions if no living entity is fit for them?
Yes, like it's explained that not, to get the position of Lord Brahma, you have to be celibate throughout your life. And you must accumulate so much pious credit. And it's very, very rare to see such a soul. And when Krishna notifies and he sees that there are no living entities who are qualified to take the position of Lord Brahma, he personally comes and takes the position of Lord Brahma.
So in that case, if a demigod, if Krishna is actually taking the positions of a demigod, would then that demigod also, you know, play those pastimes where it seems like he actually has material desires? You know?
Yeah.
Just for the sake of the pastime?
Well, we can understand that there are innumerable demigods in this, innumerable Brahmas, for example, in this world. There are so many Brahmas. Some Brahmas are Mayavadis. Some Brahmas are atheists. But this Brahma we have in this world is a pure devotee. From him, a Sampradaya comes, known as Brahma Madhva Sampradaya. So he is a great devotee. He may have very little material desire if he does. And sometimes you see, like in Srimad Bhagavatam, where Brahma, he gets bewildered upon seeing his own daughter, Saraswati. And he starts running after Saraswati, or wants Saraswati. We should understand that that Brahma cannot be of this material world. That Brahma could, as I clarified with Bhurijanpur with regards to this. Bhurijanpur explains that this Brahma, that Brahma could be of the different world. And also, Lord Brahma, when he meditated on Lord Krishna in the beginning of the creation, Lord Krishna, he told him to do tapa, meditation. And then later on, he heard the beautiful flute vibration from Krishna. That flute vibration of Krishna came the Brahma Samhita. So, Prabhupada explained that when Brahma heard that the Brahma Samhita was spoken by Krishna, then he is no more on the... He doesn't have any material desire. He is actually considered a pure devotee. But before that, you know, he might have got hooked with, you know, Saraswati or something. It's a very delicate subject matter, and it's difficult to understand the position of Lord Brahma, because here Shukadeva Goswami is referring to many Brahmas of different planets, not only one particular Brahma, different universes, yes. Thank you. So, it's very difficult to ascertain that it is this particular Brahma of this universe. Can be of different universes or a different time. So Srimad Bhagavatam is not only of this universe itself, entire material universe and spiritual world. This is Srimad Bhagavatam. And this is what we have to understand, which is very difficult to understand.
So what about a pure devotee who is not an interested in actual Bhagavatam? Would he be considered above the...
Yeah, once they are a pure devotee, they are considered Nitya Siddha, as explained by Krishna to Uddhava in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Once you are a pure devotee, once you come to this prema stage, you consider Nitya Siddha, because you don't fall back into this material, illusory world. This is explained by Krishna to Uddhava. But up to the stage of Bhava, you can fall down. You still consider Nitya Bada. You can fall down the example of Bharat Maharaj. But when you come to the stage of Bhava, the chances of falling down is very, very slight. Because you're 99.9% Krishna conscious. that 0.% can still make you fall down. So that's why you still consider, you can't go to the spiritual world even if you're in bhava stage. But you see, Srila Prabhupada has given us a method. Prabhupada said, you just follow four regulative principles, you chant 16 rounds every day, and you come and take association of devotees, follow the programs, you'll go back and back to Godhead. Though you may not be in bhava stage. Because it's explained, Prabhupada explains there also that it is his, actually it is Prabhupada's mercy which qualifies us to go back home back to God in the most degraded age of Kali Yuga. It is Prabhupada's mercy. It is not our endeavor really. Speaking the truth, you know, we are supposed to be chanting 64 rounds. Prabhupada said, actually if I told you all the rules and regulations, you will faint. Like for example, if you pay obeisances to the deities with a kurta on, you'll be, according to the Shastra, you'll go to a hellish planet for millions and millions of lifetimes. According to Shastra, yes. So, that's why Prabhupada said, if I told you all the rules and regulations, you'll faint. But it is through Prabhupada's mercy that we can surpass all those rules and regulations. Understanding, Krishna understands, he's a person, and he understands our endeavor, and he understands our situation in this material world. We generally forget that Krishna is a person. He understands that we have shortcomings. But nevertheless, though we may have shortcomings, but if we are sincere devotees, he will help us. Beautiful example given by Prabhupada is like the sparrow who lost its egg in the ocean. The sparrow got so annoyed, so upset. How dare this ocean take my eggs? The mother sparrow started taking the drop of water from the ocean and throwing the drop of water somewhere else, hoping to dry up the great vast ocean. But, and the sparrow was so determined. So, Garuda, he was flying by and he saw his sister, the sparrow, little baby sparrow. What are you doing? And the sparrow said, this ocean took my eggs. I want to dry up this ocean. And Garuda saw that the sparrow was very determined. The sparrow was not going to give it up so easily. Garuda said, whoa, wait a minute. I will take care. I will help you out. So Garuda said, called out to the ocean god. Ocean god, you better give the eggs back or else I'll dry you up. Previous to that, the sparrow also said that. But the ocean thought, who is the sparrow, so stupid. But when Garuda said, the ocean god immediately said, here's your eggs, please leave me alone. So we may have shortcomings. We may lack in many, many things. But it is Srila Prabhupada who helps us cross over this material world. Does it explain? In regards to Krishna appearing as Lord Brahma, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like for example, Vamanadeva, he appeared. He is considered a demigod as such. But he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he has no material desire. He is the same spiritual Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it could be understood Brahman like that. He's considered demigod because that position. Like in next Manvantara avatar is the position of Indra will be taken by Bali Maharaj. No more Purandara Indra. And each, like for example, Purandara Indra at this present moment has a particular deity whom he worships and he seeks guidance from. And Vamanadeva is considered a demigod as such, but we understand he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We understand he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But being in the heavenly planets as such, he is considered a citizen just as a demigod is, under the rulership of Indra as such. You know, you get it? So, but nevertheless, next, you know, he's free from all material desires. Though he may take the position of a demigod. Like Krishna, when he appears in this world, he appears as an ordinary human being like any of us. But any activity he does is free from any material desires. So when Krishna appears in the form of Brahma, Lord Brahma, we should understand that he will have no material desires.
So when Krishna, for example, takes the position of Indra, would he then perform the Garudan?
It's very tricky because you see, like for example, Parashuram, you know, when Lord Ramachandra, we know Parashuram, he is the Saktivesha avatar, he is the empowered incarnation of Godhead, Sri Krishna. When Lord Ram broke the bow, Parashuram, Lord Shiva's bro, Parashuram got very annoyed. Who did this? He started coming to the direction where the sound of the bow came about. So, when Parashuram appeared in front of Lord Ram and he noticed it was Ram, called the Valmiki Ramayana. And then he understood. That's a very crucial situation because you see two Supreme Personality of Godhead meeting with head to head, you know. So, anyway, you know, in that situation we understood that, according to Valmiki Ramayana, that Parashuram could understand because. And then Parashuram said, "Oh, did you break the bow of Lord Shiva?" So yes, I did. And some dialogue took place and Parashuram said, anyway, then there was going to be a bit of a fight, but anyway, Parashuram came to a conclusion after that. Parashuram understood that his pastime at that moment is over. Actually, it's now Lord Ramchandra's pastime to manifest fully in this earthly planet. Will you guys go over that hill? I don't know. I can't say it really. It does happen sometimes, you know, the Lord, the Supreme Personality come, the Supreme Personality God can come head to head. So, like in this situation. Yes, Prabhuji.
The situation where Advaita Acharya is Mahavishnu, Balaram,
Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda Prabhu was in the house of Advaita Acharya along with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They were eating prasadam. One was saying, "Oh, you're giving so much." That was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. "I am a sannyasi, you should know. I just eat a few green leaves. That's it. Why are you giving me this opulent prasadam? And the amount of prasadam you're giving, oh, I can't." And then Advaita Acharya would nullify Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's argument, saying, "You, as Lord Jagannath, eat 56 preparation. You must eat more. My offering is insignificant." But the another Supreme Personality of Godhead, Nityananda Prabhu, was saying, "Oh, you have given nothing. I'm your guest. You're supposed to satisfy me. You have given me even a you. You haven't even satisfied my stomach." And Advaita Acharya would counter-argue with Nityananda Prabhu. And Nityananda Prabhu got so upset, he took that rice and he threw it on the ground. And that rice hit Advaita Acharya and he went spiritually happy. But, you know, and another time we know Advaita Acharya and Nityananda Prabhu would fight. If you look, he would fight out in Indradyumna Sarovar, which is the lake after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would perform his Rati Yatra festival, they would go and bathe in the Indradyumna Sarovar. They would go take darshan of Narasimha Dev and then go to Indradyumna Sarovar to take bath. There, each devotees would fight with him, would splash water, like Ramananda Roy would splash water with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would splash water with other devotees. And Sarvadamodara would splash water with some another devotee. And in that duel, Nityananda Prabhu was fighting with Advaita Acharya, was splashing a lot of water. Because Advaita Acharya was old, Nityananda Prabhu had the advantage. And so Advaita Acharya would get so upset and start arguing with Nityananda Prabhu and calling him ill names. And Nityananda Prabhu would counterattack Advaita Acharya. So they would fight, you know. Spiritual fight. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains, those who take the side of either side, they will go to hellish planet. They're doomed. So that is spiritual, you see. Yeah, that's right. Exactly. It could happen. Very nice point, thank you.
And my point was that if Advaita Acharya and Nityananda Prabhu would fight and argue in that way, then it would not be unreasonable to think that Krishna in the form of Indra would also fight in a sense with Krishna in the same sort of way.
Could.
Not necessarily.
One last point. Yes, Prabhuji.
I was just going to say that I agree 100% with you. Srila Prabhupada is the major general of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Yeah.
Who has spread the movement.
His
Prabhupada has opened a window in the spiritual world, and the key with the sannyasi is gone. So anybody who takes mercy of the spiritual master can go to the spiritual world.
Yeah, thank you. It's very interesting to understand Prabhupada's position. He is Nitya Siddha. He is eternal liberated soul. Whereas demigods, generally, they are known as Sakama Mishra Bhakta, or their devotional service to Krishna is mixed with different motivation, material desires. But Srila Prabhupada, his devotional service is Ananya Bhakta, or is fully without any tinge of material or even Jnana or philosophical tinges in devotional service. Thank you very much. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.